Okay.
Taptam, having undergone austerities. Tapaha, penance. Viveda, Loka, different planetary systems. Sushrikshaya, desiring to create. May, of mine. Adau, at first. Sanat, from the personality of Godhead. Satapasaha, by dint of my own penances. Saha, he the Lord. Chatusanaha, the four bachelors named Sanat Kumar. Sanaka Sanandana. And Sanatana. Abhut, appeared. Prak, previous. Kalpa, creation. Samplava, in the inundation. Inundation means the flood, for those of you who don't know that word. Vinastam, devastated. That means destroyed. Iha, in this material world. Atma, the spirit. Tatvam, the truth. Samyak, incomplete. Not the word incomplete, but in two words. Complete. You want to say there's a difference? Actually, they're pronounced exactly the same way. Incomplete or incomplete. Anyway, so just so you know, that the something is complete. Complete truth. Not the incomplete truth. Anyway. It's difficult to understand if you're just hearing. Jagada became manifested. Muniyaha, sages. Yat, that which. Achakshata, saw clearly. Atman, the spirit. Translation, to create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas. Sanaka, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana, and Sanatana. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated, but the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Jai. The Vishnu Sahasranama prayers mention the Lord's name as Sanat and Sanatanatama. The Lord and the living entities are both qualitatively Sanatan or eternal, but the Lord is Sanatanatama or the eternal in the superlative degree. Superlative means the highest degree. The living entities are positively Sanatana, but not superlatively, because the living entities are apt to fall to the atmosphere of non-eternity. That's this place, in case you haven't figured that out. Therefore, the living entities are quantitatively different. That means different quantity or number or amount from the superlative, that means the supreme, Sanatana, eternal, the Lord. The word son is also used in the sense of charity. Therefore, when everything is given up in charity unto the Lord reciprocates by giving himself unto the devotee. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the fourth chapter, text 11, Yeta Mamprapadyante. Brahmaji wanted to create the whole cosmic situation as it was in the previous millennium, and because in the last devastation, knowledge of the absolute truth was altogether erased from the universe, he desired that the same knowledge again be renovated. Otherwise, there would be no meaning in the creation. Because transcendental knowledge is a prime necessity, the ever-conditioned souls are given a chance for liberation in every millennium or creation. This mission of Brahmaji was fulfilled by the grace of the Lord when the four sanas, namely Sanaka, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana, and Sanatana, appeared as his four sons. These four sanas were incarnations of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, and as such, they explained transcendental knowledge so explicitly that all the sages could at once assimilate this knowledge without the least difficulty. By following in the footsteps of the four Kumaras, one can see at once the Supreme Personality of Godhead within himself. Okay. Taptam tapo vivida loka sashrikshaya me ado sanatsva tapasa sa chatu sanubhut prakalpa samplava vinashtam mihatma tutvam samya jagara munhyo yara chakshatat man. So Om Ganati Mirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this type of incarnation is the category of Shaktivesh avatar. The four Kumaras are not Vishnu Tattva. They are Jiva Tattva devotees. And it's interesting. Someone asked me a question the other day. She asked the question, you know, how is it that we see different incarnations of the Lord present at the same place? Just like you see, the question was in relationship to Vyasadeva being present physically, you know, right in front of Krishna. So how is it that you see something like that? So there's many different explanations. First of all, I explained that Vyasadeva is also a Shaktivesh avatar. He's not Vishnu Tattva. Secondly, Krishna can be in all of his different incarnations simultaneously in Vishnu Tattva forms present at the same place too. Just like we see Krishna when he danced the Rasa dance, I mean, he was between each and every gopi. Of course, some acharyas explain, it's quite interesting. They explain that Krishna was moving so fast that different acharyas explain that differently, of course. That Krishna was moving so fast that it appeared he was between, you know, just like a light, if you have a fluorescent light, it flashes so fast, it's actually flashing at about, you know, 60 frames, or 50 here, actually, 50 different flashes each second. Did you know that? You didn't know that. Anyway, you work in the electrical department, how come you don't know this? Your life is 50% wasted. You're supposed to work for FEA, right? Still working for them? So light, it's called 50 cycles a second. What? Oh, you don't know about electricity. Okay. So you're just in making money from the poor people of Fiji. So exploiting them, you know. So 50 cycles means that light is actually, the fluorescent lights alone are actually flashing at that particular rate. So you don't see it, you just see it constant. Or when you watch television, I'm sure you all watch television, yes, it flashes, but you see there's a persistence of imagery in your eye. Do you understand the persistence? That means it continues. Persistent means to continue. So you actually see that as a continuous movement on the screen, even though, or when you go to see a movie. You've been to see movies? No. So when you go to see a movie, anyway, those are the movies are they're played in these big, you know, houses or big buildings. That's what a movie is. And they have a projector, so I know you don't know. So anyway, when you go to see a movie, it's like 25 frames a second in a movie. It's interesting, isn't it? Maybe a little technology for you. So you just see that there's a continuous motion. In the same way, some of the acharyas explain when Krishna just like moves around in the rasa dance, it appears like he's between each and every gopi, but actually it's just Krishna moving real fast. That's one explanation. Other acharyas say that Krishna actually just appears in separate forms. And of course, even when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, you had Krishna and Balaram. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. He holds a plow instead of a flute, And, you know, you had them both present at the same time. Not only present at the same time, they had their arms around each other, and they were doing all sorts of interesting things. And also that applies to Krishna's Shaktis. I mean, Srimati Radharani, and she expands herself as, of course, Lalita Vishakha, and then the other, the gopis in Vrindavan, the other Shaktis in Vrindavan. So you actually have the Shaktis are present at the same. It's really interesting. It's really interesting, all the expansions of the Supreme Personality of God. I was just reading the Vidagdha Madhava. Really interesting information about how Radharani, she expands in Dwarka. It's very interesting. As Satyabhama. And then Chandravali, she expands in Dwarka as Rukmini. And there's such an interesting explanation of the different bhavas. The bhava basically means emotion. Of course, right now you're experiencing what? Bhava Sagara, you know, the ocean of material emotions. You hear the word in Hindi? Sagara?
Yes.
Sagara means ocean or sea. So, Bhava Sagara, you know, you're just like all these emotions and crying. Just like I know when I'm talking to devotees, especially the ladies come to see me, I have to have a box of tissues on my desk. Tissues? You know, tissues. Yeah, because even the men nowadays, you know, just give them, you have to keep a whole stockpile of tissues when you're giving darshans, because people cry a lot. Anyway, so that's Bhava Sagara. Whereas in the spiritual realm, there's the transcendental bhavas. And so it's very interesting how the acharyas describe the transcendental bhavas or emotions of the devotees, and especially Srimati Radharani and the other residents of Vrindavan. Actually, in this particular story, the Vidagdha Madhava, Krishna, of course, is in Dwarka. Vidagdha Madhava deals, it's the Lalita Madhava, I got it wrong. The Lalita Madhava deals with Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, primarily. But it also shows how Krishna's devotees expand to appear in Dwarka, like Radharani, Chandravali, etc., appear in Dwarka, and have their different moods are actually there in Dwarka. Of course, Krishna also has a different mood in Dwarka, too. He doesn't play a flute. He doesn't have the same intimacy with his devotees like they have in Vrindavan, right? And his beauty is unexcelled, but actually it's completely, superlatively unexcelled in Vrindavan, the highest degree in Vrindavan. So there's actually differences in Krishna's... it's actually when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's Vasudeva Krishna. When Krishna kills the demons, it's Vasudeva Krishna killing the demons. So Krishna actually... It's the same Krishna, but he has different moods. Okay. Adwaita chuta nadir nantaram rupam adyam purana purusham naviyovanam cha. So there's a nice instance in this Lalita Madhava where Krishna is there with Srimati Radharani, who has appeared as Satyabhama. Oh, this is such an interesting story. I don't know if I have time to tell it. But in the Lalita Madhava, it describes how when Krishna left Vrindavan, and this is just one version of the story, is many versions told by the different acharyas, so if it appears to contradict anything you've heard before, don't worry about it, because it explains the bhava. So Satyabhama comes to Dwarka, but Krishna is already married to Rukmini, who was his first wife. And he made the promise to Rukmini when he got married that he would never marry anyone else without her permission. It was really heavy. You should also make that promise to your wives. You should. Of course, now you don't have polygamy so much here anymore. There used to be polygamy here in Fiji, right? Many years ago, there was polygamy. So Krishna made that promise. So when Radharani appeared as Satyabhama, she... it's interesting. Maybe I should go back and tell the rest of the story. Anyway, she, the reason she was Satrajit's daughter, you know that Satrajit daughter? The Satrajit worshipped who? What? The Surya, the sun god, yeah. And she was given by Surya to Satrajit. Interesting. So she was actually adopted daughter. Anyway, and then because when Krishna left Vrindavan, this is a whole story. Krishna left Vrindavan, she actually left this world and went to the sun planet and then given by Surya to Satrajit. And so anyway, so Satrajit eventually gave to Krishna. This is the whole story of the Simantaka jewel, which we're not going to tell right now. So when she appeared in Dwarka and was given by Satrajit, Krishna could not marry her immediately because she had this promise to Rukmini. And Rukmini, oh, she's submissive, but sometimes she gets a little upset. So Krishna was meeting with her secretly in this place called Nava Vrindavan. There was a whole place established by Vishvakarma. That's also described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this Nava Vrindavan. Krishna was meeting with her in this Nava Vrindavan, and they were having various pastimes. And they went into to a cave. And in this cave, there were pictures painted of all Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Did you ever read this before? You never heard of this? You did? You read the Lita Manava. So anyway, so they were looking at the pictures. And they were enjoying looking at the pictures of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And then they finally saw the picture of Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And Radharani didn't want to see that one anymore. Radharani, who was appearing as Satyabhama, of course, in Dwarka. So she didn't want to see that one, even she got very upset. Anyway, so that I was just telling that story to illustrate some of the bhavas of the devotees. So all these different incarnations, appearances, expansions of the Supreme Personality of God, they have certain bhavas or certain emotions. Those emotions are spiritual emotions. Whereas the emotions that we exhibit are not, at this time, are not exactly spiritual emotions. Although we can have a coming attraction, a preliminary understanding, preliminary means beginning, experience of emotion by the association of Krishna's great devotees. When we associate with a pure devotee, just like I remember when I associated with Prabhupada and had Prabhupada's association for the first time, you know, I experienced some spiritual emotions. I did, no doubt about it. But they weren't steady, they went away. So I experienced spiritual emotions. Wow, I'm in ecstasy. Then when Prabhupada went away after 2-3 days, things wore off. And then I was back to lamentation and hankering again. Sociati conscienti, right? So it happens like that, isn't it? You know, just like you get association or you go to a class, or you hear a class, you get very enlivened. Wow, Krishna, Haribo. Or you have a festival like, you know, we're having Gopranima coming up. And then 2 days later, it's just, oh, Bhavasagara again. That's called burnt up or dried up ecstasy, according to the Acharyas. It's not para or transcendental. Rupa Goswami talks about this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And also Vishwanath Chakravarti talks about it. In the Madhuri Kadambini, also Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it in his Bhajan Mahasya. He hints at it, Bhajan Mahasya. So, yeah, so we experience these things. But what we're trying to do is experience constant emotion, you know, in relationship to Krishna. So this constant emotion right now is not being experienced, obviously. So therefore, the emotions we experience at present, we should not take so seriously. We should tolerate the pushings and pullings. When you have a pure mind, pure emotions, then shudahabhi mana kabehama hey rabo shri Vrindavana. Then you can act, then your mind and emotions reveal Vrindavan. But when your emotions or mind are not pure, then your mind reveals this material bhavasagara. Anyway. So that's the Lord and his emotions. So let's get back to Sanat Kumar, Sanatana, and Sanandana, and Sanaka. So they are actually four pure devotees of the Lord, incarnations of the knowledge potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shaktivesh avatars, and their specific attachment is to knowledge or presenting knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is a spiritual attachment. If we're attached to our service according to our psychophysical nature, that's a spiritual attachment, and everybody has a different type of service according to their psychophysical nature. So the idea is to be attached to that service. In the beginning, we're attached to the service. In the end, we're attached to the relationship. So we're attached to our service for Krishna. As Krishna says in the Gita, we have a right to our particular service, but we don't have a right to the fruits of the service. So that's all right. So anyway, so that's all we have time for this morning. Any questions or comments? We're already late. Questions, comments about the four Kumaras? Of course, there's many stories about the four Kumaras, how they remain eternally youthful, 5 years old, because they wouldn't even get married when Lord Brahma, their father, told them to get married. And what this indicates is if one is able to remain chaste and faithful to the Lord without engaging in sense gratification, you actually remain young, younger. Not that the body is, not that if you don't get married, like Hrishikesh, he's never been married, but that he still doesn't look like a five-year-old boy. He still looks like what he is, you know. Anyway, but at least, you know, your memory, your mind, your intelligence, your strength remains strong by remaining, you know, chaste and faithful to the Supreme Personality of God. And of course, those who are married, if they engage in sex only for the process or purpose of procreation, that is like brahmachari life too. That should be understood. So it's not, but if one is able to restrain themselves, restrain from sense gratification, then you're going to be actually healthier and happier in spiritual life. And that's another example given to us by the four Kumaras. Okay? So any questions or comments? No? Huh? Deva Tattvas? Generally, yeah. That's the definition of Shaktivesh avatar. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Shaktivesh avatar. Of course, each and every Shaktivesh, I mean, if you take the word Avesh, Shakta Avesh, I mean, each and one of the Lord's incarnation, even the Vishnu Tattva incarnations, have a particular Shakti that they exhibit. But technically speaking, the Shaktivesh category is only for empowered Jiva souls. I mean, there's only three types of entities. There's Jiva souls, Shakti Tattvas, there's Vishnu Tattva, of course, three types of entities. Of course, then you have Lord Shiva in a special category, Shiva Tattva, but that's his own category. It's not really a general category. And you can't become Shiva Tattva. You're always Jiva Tattva. So generally, we talk about these three categories. Vishnu, Shakti, Parau, Prakta, Kshetrajya, Kittata, Para, Vidyakarma, Sangya, Nyatratir, Shakti, Ishute. And the material energy is not conscious. Of course, there's Maya, who's a personification of the material, but she's Shakti Tattva. You understand? But the actual material energy of Vidyakarma, ignorant action, is not conscious. This table is not, this chair is not conscious. This cushion is not conscious. And I have some information here. This body is not conscious either. It's the soul that's the consciousness within the body. This body is never alive. It's always dead. Could, just like in a car. You wouldn't say a car is ever alive, would you? Would you say, my Toyota is alive today? That would be stupid. Isn't it? Or my Toyota, as long as you say the engine is dead, the motor is dead. but you don't really mean it's dead like a dead person. Isn't it? Or my computer is dead. But when a computer dies, you don't have a funeral for it. Where did my computer go? It left its body, it left its computer body and went to the spiritual world. So anyway, I mean, so matter is never alive. It's the soul that apparently gives action and life to matter. Just like when Krishna created the material world, there is the pradana. Pradana is not alive. But then Krishna saikshita, in the form of Lord Vishnu, glanced at the pradana and then impregnated the pradana, and then the pradana came alive. You understand? The pradana, it's just like a piece of clay. A piece of clay has no form until you give it form. So the pradana took on all the manifestations when Krishna glanced at it and entered into it as Lord Shiva, the original material progenitor who consorts with Maya, according to the Brahma Sangita. Who's singing? What?
Church service.
That's nice. We should. They're good singers, much better than us. So, what's that?
Another question.
Yeah.
Like when we went to India.
When you go to India.
Last time we went to India, we did a Pratibha Govardhan Hill.
No, but you're going the wrong way around. It's this way. The Muslims, they go that way. Yeah.
But we read in the Krishna book, and yesterday you were telling that Radhakund is inside the Govardhan Hill.
No. Radhakund is the head of Govardhan. What I said is the Govardhan is in the shape of a peacock. And Radhakund and Shamakund, they're the eyes of the peacock. So they're considered part of the Govardhan Parikrama. Actually part of, I mean, one sense part of Govardhan area. They're the foot. It's described by Rupa Goswami, they're at the foot of Govardhan Hill, or the head of Govardhan Hill, you know. The foot, the actual foot, that's the tail of Govardhan. And at the tail you got Navalkund and Apsurakund, remember? That's called Punchuri. You have that same word in Hindi? Punchuri? Punch, you say punch. Punch, right. Instead of punchuri. So they, anyway, so that's the tail, the head. It's the shape of a peacock. And the neck comes up from the town of Govardhan and goes to the head. Then you got Shamakund, Radhakund, and then all the other kuns, the kuns of the Astasakis around Shamakund and Radhakund, and they're connected by crystal bridges and all the such wonderful stuff like that. And if you have the eyes to see, you'll see them. But you didn't see that. No, you didn't.
I was wondering if Radhakund is part of Govardhan.
Well, part of Govardhan area, yeah.
Actually, when we went to Govardhan Hill,
yeah.
You told us not to touch the Govardhan with your
feet. You're not supposed to touch Govardhan with your feet.
Radhakund, we are looking on the ground. There was no Govardhan.
What?
There was no Govardhan in the
Radhakund. No, you didn't see. Govardhan has gone down. You know, there's the, not only in Radhakund, but also after you leave the city of Govardhan and you go a little, just about, well, just before Kusuma Sarovar, actually Govardhan disappears into the ground. That half of Govardhan, it's actually less than a half, it's about a third. About a third of Govardhan, there's no manifestation of Govardhan there. Except for at Radhakund, you have one manifestation, which is Jiva. The tongue of Govardhan is actually at Radhakund. And they got that tongue when they were digging the Gopi Kupa, that means the well. For the gopis, they hit, and then they asked Raghunath Das Goswami, why is this stone bleeding? And he said, that's the tongue of Govardhan. But no, Govardhan disappears in the ground. Previously, he was much higher. Like many, many yojanas high, like 80 miles high or something like that. But since Krishna left the planet, he's been disappearing. Also, there's that curse from Pulastyamuni, where he shrinks one mustard seed every day. And also, there's a whole bunch of devotees who are taking stones from Govardhan Hill. Right? And so that helps him shrink.
Faster.
What?
Faster. Faster is so small that Govardhan is bigger.
Yeah. But if you take an average over the whole hill, it's about one. That's I think Govardhan's plan to shrink like devotees take. But of course, no one should take unless they're a resident of Govardhan, or they get permission from a resident of Govardhan, or they leave the weight of the Shila in gold. You have that three options. No one should take Govardhan Shilas from Govardhan unless they get it from a resident of Govardhan. Yeah. Unless they are a resident of Govardhan, or unless they leave the weight in gold. 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 You know, gold. Like you buy your wife all the gold ornaments and everything like that. What's that? Like go, yeah. Like, you know, Haranya? Gold? Gold bed? Just like a... Anyway, I won't say that story. So, but anyway, there's... you have to leave the weight in gold. If you're gonna, so don't take any Govardhan Shilas. You have to be a resident or leave a gold. So any other questions or comments? No? It's nice to have everyone here. So many people. We've never had so many people in class here in Lautoka. And I guess these are all Suvawalas. With the exception of, you know, two or three people. Right? So normally it's nice to have you all. Normally if I'm sitting giving classes, maybe one person sitting in front of me, I'm talking to him, you know, or her. You know, one lady, one man. That's a normal thing here in Lautoka. But the main purpose of the temple is hearing and chanting. So we're ready to greet the deities or what? Okay. Okay, all glories to Rishabhan Gauri. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.